ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So, I'd like to read you a little something of what Srila Prabhupada says about coming to the Dhamma. This is from Prabhupada's purport in the second canto, chapter 3, text 22. People should visit holy places like Vrindavan, where such temples and worship of the deity are specifically maintained. Formerly, all rich men, like kings and rich merchants, constructed such temples under the direction of expert devotees of the Lord, like the six Goswamis. And it is the duty of the common man to take advantage of these temples and festivals observed in the holy places of pilgrimage by following in the footsteps of great devotees, Anubraj. One should not visit all these sanctified pilgrimage places and temples with sightseeing in mind. I'd like to repeat that. Very powerful statement. One should not visit all these sanctified pilgrimage places and temples with sightseeing in mind. But one must go to such temples and sanctified places immortalized by the transcendental pastimes of the Lord and be guided by proper men who know the science. This is called Anubraja. Anu means to follow. It is therefore best to follow the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master, even in visiting temples and the holy places of pilgrimage. One who does not move in that way is as good as a standing tree condemned by the Lord not to move. The moving tendency of the human being is misused by visiting places for sightseeing. The best purpose of such traveling tendencies could be fulfilled by visiting the holy places established by great acharyas, and thereby not being misled by the atheistic propaganda of money-making men who have no knowledge of spiritual matters. I'm very fond of Srila Prabhupada's Nectar of Devotion lectures that he gave in 1972 in Vrindavan. They're just amazing. And I'd like to read you one little sentence, which I heard that, it really blew my mind. It's just a little sutra, Prabhupada says. He says there are two processes of Vedic understanding, Smarta Vichar and Goswami Vichar. That's all that he said about that. But when I heard that, I thought, yes, this is Jagannath Puri. So we can come here to this place and you can get a guidebook, and the guidebook will tell you there's Panchatirtha, there's five special places in Puri, and you go there and you take baths and you go to the ocean and you do this and this, and then you'll get liberation. But we're not interested in liberation. We should think very deeply what our purpose is in coming here. And I can tell you from my side, we're coming on this yatra not to get liberation, not just to get purified, not just to see the deities. But we're coming specifically Anubraja, to follow in the footsteps of the great devotees. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in one commentary on the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that the function of the disciple is to be, and he uses the word Anu again, same word Prabhupada's using here, is to be Anubhav, or following the mood of Gurudev. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says a similar thing in two different articles. One he titled Braj Mandal Parikrama, and the other Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. I remember when I saw this, I thought, wow, there's going to be some cool things about the Dham here. But he doesn't speak anything about Braj Mandal Parikrama or Navadvip Mandal Parikrama. All that he speaks about is Sadhu Sangha. And he said, don't, when you go to these places, don't try to see with your eyes. Srila Prabhupada once said, you don't see Vrindavan with your eyes, you see Vrindavan with your ears. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, you shouldn't try to see Radhakon and Shyamakon and Chatakparvat and Tota Gopinath. Rather, we go with saintly persons and we look to them. What is Gurudev seeing? What is his mood? And this is a desire of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We want to understand the mood of another devotee. I'm going to share with you something I just spoke at Dhanadhar Maharaj's Yatra just a few days ago. A few of you were here for that, so don't mind if I repeat. And this is something in turn which I heard recently at the Govardhan retreat from Brijan Prabhu's wife, Mother Jagat Tarini. And she was speaking about juggling. I used to juggle. Does anybody here juggle before? I used to juggle a little bit. Juggling is not as simple as it seems. Even keeping one ball in the air consecutively for some time is not such an easy thing. And what to speak if you had two and then three or more. So our life is like that juggling. She explained that our material life, we're trying to keep one ball in the air. And we have to take care of our parents, our children, our wife, our husband, our house, our education. We have so many different things. When we become a devotee, then all of a sudden we have two balls. And we have another ball of our spiritual life. And you may think it's easy, but even keeping two balls in the air, not such an easy thing. And it's very hard for a lot of devotees. But most people who take to spiritual life, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has written that they consider that spiritual life means morality. It means being very good. It means piety. It means, what am I going to get out of it? And I can tell you very frankly, we've been living here for almost 30 years now, and we've seen so many people come, and even devotees, they're coming because they're worried about themselves. What am I going to get? I need this. I need that. And we can't really enter into the Dham then, because we can't understand the third ball. That's the third ball. The second ball is my spiritual life. And it's not easy to have my spiritual life and my material life also. Those two balls are hard enough. And then the third ball is, I should try to understand, what is Srila Prabhupada's desire? How can I please him? What is the pleasure of Gurudev? What is the pleasure of the Vaishnavas? Raghunath Das Goswami did his bhajan here. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Haridas Thakur, Madhavi Devi, Jagadananda Pandit, Sarup Damodar Goswami, Roy Ramananda, Sikhi Mahiti, so many exalted devotees did their bhajan here in Puri. What was their mood? Let me go to that place where they did their bhajan and try to understand their mood. That's not easy. That's a third ball. It's hard enough with the first and the second ball. And most people, they think that piety, religion, just means I'm going to go and take bath, sprinkle some dust, say some prayers. And sometimes even devotees, we think, Prabhu, I need to get some mercy. I need to get purified. Don't worry about that. If we simply focus on one thing, we try to understand the mood of the Lord in this place, the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta here, the mood of Gadadhar Pandit at Tota Gopinath. If we can catch a tiny grain of sand of that understanding, then all the other things come automatically. We'll have our darshan, we'll get purified, we'll get liberation, you get all that stuff automatically. But this other thing is such a wonderful, wonderful thing. But we don't get it so often because we come here and we're thinking at the best about the second ball. And we're not thinking of the third ball when we come here. So most people, when they come to the Dham, they're absorbed in smarta vichar, in a consideration of how can I get purified? What can I do for my benefit? So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in one lecture he gave in Ultadunga Road in 1926. And you know who might have been there at that time? Someone very, very special to all of us, our Srila Prabhupada. He said one sentence, which I found a very powerful sutra. He said, the artificial, imitative path displayed by some so-called Mahajans is karma kanda, not bhakti. Wow. So just at the end of the sentence, we can understand that some people are doing some things which look like bhakti. But it's not bhakti. It's karma kanda, not bhakti. And he gives two symptoms of that. It's artificial and it's imitative. Real bhakti is devoid of these two negative qualities. It shouldn't be artificial, it should be natural. And it shouldn't be imitative. It should be coming from me. And therefore we mention my revered spiritual master's comment that your only qualification is your disqualification. Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandarbha, he speaks about kaitava and akaitava bhakti, or cheating religion, cheating dharma, cheating bhakti, and genuine bhakti. And what's the difference between the two? The difference between the two is, in one of them, you admit, I'm fallen. As Haridas Thakur said here in Jagannath Puri Dham, we can sing this very nice verse Bhaktivinoda Thakur is given in Harinam Chintamani. You can chant Hare Krishna in response. Amita adama tumi adama tarana ubhaye sambandha e patita pavana. Double time. Below. Hare Krishna. This is a Namacharya Haridas Thakur. Amita Adama. I am fallen, and I know who you are. To me, Adama Tarana. You're the deliverer of the fallen. Ubaye Sambandhe. This is our connection. I have a connection with the Lord. My connection is that I'm fallen, and He's the deliverer of the fallen. So this is the attitude of someone who's given up artificial pretension, who's given up imitativeness, but they're just being genuine. So this is a very important mood that we can try to gain here in the Dham. I'd like also to read you a little something from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Let's see. I think actually it's open right here. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila chapter 10, which is called the Beda Kirtan Pastimes, Maharaj Prataparudra was very eager to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his associates. And so he was standing on his palace, the roof of his palace. Sometimes we go to the roof of the King of Puri's palace for Rath Yatra. And he was standing there on the roof with his pandit assistant, who was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Sarvabhauma was explaining to him all these different devotees who were coming. And Maharaj Prataparudra was trying to figure out what was going on. But he'd never seen anything quite like it before. And so he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, what's going on here? All these saintly persons, they're coming, but they're not going to the temple of Lord Jagannath. Instead, they're going to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're not following the rules here in Jagannath Puri Dham. And Sarvabhauma told them, Eta Svabhavika Prema Rita, that this is spontaneous love. And these devotees are all very, very anxious to meet Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Prataparudra Maharaj said, okay. Okay, he's watching everything, right? Like Vaisheshika Prabhu this morning is saying, he's watching everywhere they go places. So he's watching and he says, Sarvabhauma, what's going on? He said, they're all eating. They're not supposed to do that. Because when you come to the Dham, you're supposed to fast, you're supposed to shave your head. Even we see, if you go downtown Puri, you'll see a lot of the ladies even, they shave their head, like in Tirupati also. And they're supposed to fast, they're supposed to shave. Why are they eating prasadam first? And Sarvabhauma, who's a great authority now on this subject matter, he said, he said, what you've said, bhatta kahi tumi jehi kaha se vidhi dharma. The Bhattacharya told the king, what you've said is correct according to the regulated principles governing the visiting of holy places. But a raga marge achi sukshma dharma marma. There's another path, which is a path of spontaneous love. And he says that's suksha dharma marma. The word suksha means very, very subtle. So there's some subtle intricacies, and Prabhupada gives a very wonderful purport I'd like to share with you. According to the Vedic regulated principles, one has to be celibate before entering a holy place of pilgrimage. Generally, people are very much addicted to sense gratification, and unless they have sex at night, they cannot sleep. The regulated principles therefore enjoin that before a common man goes to a holy place of pilgrimage, he should observe complete celibacy. As soon as one enters a holy place, he must observe fasting for the day. And after shaving his head clean, he must take a bath in a river or ocean near the holy place. These methods are adopted to neutralize the effects of sinful activities. Visiting a holy place of pilgrimage means neutralizing the reactions of a sinful life. And then a very interesting sentence. Those who go to holy places of pilgrimage actually unload the reactions of their sinful lives, and consequently, holy places are overloaded with sinful activities left there by visitors. And we know this about Ganga Devi. When she was requested to come to this world, she said, wait a minute, all these sinful people are going to take bath in my water and I'm going to become contaminated. What can I do? So the reply was that Kirvanti Tirthani, that the devotees are the tirthas of the tirthas, and they'll purify you by the chanting of the holy names. And Prabhupada goes on, when a saintly person or pure devotee visits such a holy place, it's two different moods, right? When pure devotees enter a holy place, and all of you are pure devotees. Srila Prabhupada said many times, I've heard, he said, all my disciples are pure devotees. Sometimes we have a hard time getting our head around that, because devotees had a hard time. But if you take the definition given by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and his commentary in Apichet Sudaracharo, they were all pure devotees. Because a pure devotee means someone who's not taking shelter of karma, of gyan, or of yoga, or the demigods. So you're pure devotees. Unless some of you are doing that, please don't. So we want to follow Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada goes on, when a saintly person or pure devotee visits such a holy place, he absorbs the sinful effects left there by the common men and again purifies the holy place. Tirthi kurvanti tirthani. Therefore, a common man's visit to a holy place and an exalted saintly person's visit there are different. The common man leaves his sins in the holy place, and a saintly person or devotee cleanses these sins simply by his presence. So this is, I'm so touched by Vaisheshika Prabhu and your group. You're coming here not to become purified, but you're coming here to purify other people, to purify this dham, to do book distribution, to preach, and please Srila Prabhupada. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were not common men, and they could not be subjected to the rules and regulations governing the visiting of holy places. Rather, they exhibited their spontaneous love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Immediately upon arrival at the holy place, they went to see Lord Chaitanya, and by his order they took Mahaprasad without following the regulations governing holy places. We're not interested in smarta vichar. And I'd like to share, Malati Mataji, you might have a few comments to add to this, or some of the other older devotees, two stories at least that I've heard about Srila Prabhupada, which indicates something of his mood, because we want to try to be Anubraj, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada. So Lakshmi Moni Mataji, she told us this story, one of my favorite stories. She was in Buffalo, New York, and they had a center there, and there was, I don't know, 8 or 10 brahmacharis and a few grihastha devotees. And they wrote a letter one day to Srila Prabhupada. They had a technical question, because they had deities there. Deities of Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra. And they didn't know very much about doing deity worship. So they wrote this letter, and the letter said something like this. Srila Prabhupada, we're trying to save money. So all 6 or 8 brahmacharis, we all share the same towel. Right? And then after we finish using the towel, we wash it, And we dry it, and then we use it for Lord Jagannath, for the deity worship. Is that okay? All right, that was the question to Srila Prabhupada. And the answer back from Srila Prabhupada was, just do it more often. Now, I'm not suggesting that at your center you should make this a standard. But Srila Prabhupada had a different kind of mood. He wasn't interested in all those rules and regulations. Govinda Dasi told us a wonderful story. She wasn't such a cook, but she learned to cook for Srila Prabhupada. And one day she came, there was a controversy. We always have controversies in ISKCON. We still have, right? She came with a controversial question. She said, Prabhupada, some devotees are saying that on a Kadasi day, we should not use powdered hing, because it has flour in it, right? And indeed it does. So should we use it or should we not? And what was Prabhupada's response? He got angry with her. And he chastised her and told her, don't bring all these rules and regulations in. Now I'm not suggesting that on the Kadasi you should use powdered hing, but we should understand something about Srila Prabhupada's mood. Do you have any further comments on that topic? You have a mic?
I'm so glad to hear you bringing up so many wonderful points for living real life bhakti as opposed to mental bhakti. Okay, I'll stick to this one part here about the hing, similar things, San Francisco 67 actually, between 67 and 68. And we're just getting used to the rules and regulations. And Simply Wonderfuls. They're made with butter, powdered milk, and powdered sugar. In general, powdered sugar has some cornstarch in it to keep it from sticking. But just point of information, now you can go to Whole Foods and get powdered sugar without cornstarch. But anyway, that was then, you know, 50 years ago. So it was a Kadashi, and we're thinking, okay, sugar, butter, milk, perfect. And then somebody with more knowledge informed us that we'd all broken a Kadashi because actually there was some cornstarch. So this was a big problem, went to Prabhupada, and he said, we're not fanatics. We're not fanatics, you know. It had been offered in good faith, or you know. Again, once you know something, then maybe you don't go back and repeat it. But we're not fanatics. Can I say something else?
Please, please.
You were mentioning about a pure devotee, you know. So on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada in early 68, one devotee asked him, this was San Francisco going around Stowe Lake,
I have a number of photos with you and Gurudas and all the devotees at Prabhupada on our walls in our ashram.
He'd been coming around for a little bit now, and he had started reading Srimad Bhagavatam. He'd got his set of Srimad Bhagavatam he was reading. So he goes, Swamiji, because he was still Swamiji then, you know, are there any other pure devotees like you on the planet who are walking? And he turns... So that person was on the left, and he turns to the devotee on the right, who happened to be in a pendra, and he goes, how many of us are there? So when Prabhupada did that, you know, we were like, wow, we're pure devotees. You know, I think that was the beginning of PDS, pure devotee syndrome. But, you know, we understood it's just like the kid in the preschool and the PhD postgraduate doing his thesis. They're both students, but there's a, you know, little difference in between. But interestingly enough, the person who asked that question, he asked another question that pleased Srila Prabhupada too, but he became Tamal Krishna Goswami.
I have two stories. One is that Harry's makes asafoetida without Uncle Harry. Yeah, has asafoetida without any.
Hari Vilas Prabhu.
Yeah, Hari Vilas.
But also in Vrindavan, you can buy
You can buy, you can buy solid, yeah.
Yeah, okay. And but Srila Prabhupada was in New York, and this was when the temple was in on Henry Street, was upstairs, and we were all very new devotees. And everyone in the temple room was coughing. And Srila Prabhupada stopped in the middle of the lecture, and he looks around, and then he looks at Bhavananda, and he said, "Why is everyone coughing?" And he goes, aren't you taking care of them? He said, you need to take care of them. He said, they need warm clothing. And the next day, Bhavananda went out and bought all of us slippers.
You mentioned buffalo and the Jagannath deities. There's another... Those deities I'm very have a personal interest in, because they were, at one point they closed that buffalo center down, so they traveled through a snowstorm in the back of a van to New Vrindavan. And
that's where they are today?
No. They came to Columbus, Ohio. Then they went to New Vrindavan, but I'm happy to say they're back home in Columbus, and they've been there for some time now. But if anybody wants to see those deities, please come to Columbus. But Jagadish son was there at that time in Buffalo with his mother and father. And one morning they woke up, they came, and they couldn't find the sun. So the pujari went to wake up the deities, and they found the sun had taken the deities off the altar, given them a bath, and was now putting baby powder on them. Because he thought... There was an instruction from Prabhupada that the deities should, you know, bathe them in warm water so they're comfortable. So his mother bathed him in warm water and then would put the powder on him. So he thought this would be the way that you take care of the Lord.
Very beautiful. So let me read you a little something more from Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is also Beda Kirtan pastimes. And... Maharaj Pratapurudra, he's watching all this, and he's trying to understand, because here in Puri, everything works basically by the smarta vichar. They're very following all the rules and regulations. So Maharaj Pratapurudra was seeing all this, and Kaviraj Goswami relates that Raj Kahe Deki Moto Hoyla Chamatkar. Chamatkar means very astonished. He said, Deki Moto, when I see all these devotees, I'm completely astonished. Vaishnavera Aichiteja Deki Nahi Ar. I've never seen such effulgence in devotees. It's like a million suns. Aichi Prema, Aichi Nitya, Aichi Haridvani. He said, I've seen so many kirtans. We go to many different small villages sometimes for our research, for our magazines and things, in Orissa. And I found practically every village in Orissa has a 24-hour kirtan group. In most villages, they have deities of Gaurani Thai. The chanting of Hare Krishna is very popular in Orissa. Even the smarta Brahmins, as part of the wedding ceremony, the wife has to get initiated in the Hare Krishna mantra. The Hare Krishna mantra is very popular here. We even have a little song about the Hare Krishna mantra here in Orissa. I won't go there now, but sometimes we sing that. So he asked Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he said, look, I've seen a lot of kirtan in so many different places, but I've never seen kirtan like this before. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied to him, Bhattacharya kahe e madhura vachana Chaitanya rasisti e prema sankirtan. Below, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya replied, he said, A Madhura Vachan, this very sweet transcendental sound, Chaitanya Shisti, it's a special creation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu known as Prema Sankirtan, congregational chanting and love of Godhead. This kirtan is different. The movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is different. Our parikrama is different. We're not coming here for the smarta vichar, just to become purified and see some places and buy a t-shirt and said, I went to Jagannath Puri Dham. Right? That's not our purpose in coming, or to stand next to Vaisheshika Prabhu and get my photograph taken so I can post it on Facebook, right? Yesterday I saw one man while we were putting up the pictures. He was sitting back on a sofa taking selfies of himself. I thought, anyway, don't be envious, Madhavananda, okay? So he was more handsome than me. So I went and I noticed, he kept going back and forth for about 20 minutes. He was just taking one selfie after another of himself. And I thought, gosh, this is the way some of us enter into the Dham. We're just thinking selfie, selfie, about myself. And we're not thinking about the Lord. And this is the purpose why we want to come here. Not just for my purification, but let me try to understand something about this place, the mood of this place as exhibited by the devotees who did their kirtan here. So we're going to stop now just for about 3 or 4 minutes, and we can do a little kirtan. And we can try to meditate on some of that. If you want to stand up and stretch for a minute or use the bathrooms, you can do that. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gurave Gurachandraya Radhikaya Chadalaya Krishnaya Krishna Bhaktaya Chudbhaktaya Namo Namaha Vanchakopadurubhischa Kripa Sindhubhyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So that was our warm-up discussion for the yatra, so we can try to get a little bit on the same page and try to really walk together. It's a very difficult thing. Srila Prabhupada wanted cooperation, but what does cooperation mean? Does that mean I just live in the same house with somebody else? And it means that I should give. I should try to understand this other person's mood, and that other people have different ideas, different moods than me. And I don't have to agree with them, but I can respect them. If we, Prabhupada often said we should have unity and diversity. So I'd like to speak a little more now, a little something, about this place where we're at today. Please give me a show of hands. How many of you have come here with us before to this place? Raise your hand. Okay, how many haven't? Let me just ask that. So it's about 50-50. So I'm going to repeat some of the things that we speak generally when we're here with some new things. Because we were doing some research recently. This is a little plug for our publication, for our new magazine about Govardhan Hill, and which we just came out with a couple weeks ago. And we found some very astonishing things about this place here at Chutak Parvat, which although I've been here almost 30 years, I didn't know. And I don't think honestly speaking, I don't think the devotees here in the mutt even understand these things completely. It's a very, very deep, very, very esoteric thing. So we have a number of questions in front of us. We're going to have a discussion now which is going to become very, very philosophical and very deep. So I'd like to request the devotees, please, to pay close attention and think about it very deeply. Shastri Prabhu had read this article. He told me he read it 3 times and he's starting to understand it. This article about Chutak Parvat. It's usually a little easier when we can spoon feed people with a katha. But several questions come before us. Okay, the first question is, what this place, Chutak Parvat, what is Chutak Parvat? Does anybody know? Raise your hand, tell me. Can somebody say? Huh? Govardhan Hill. Okay. But in this Govardhan Hill, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked on it. But when he went to Vrindavan, he wouldn't walk on Govardhan. So this is our first question. What is the difference? Why did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walk on this hill, but he wouldn't walk on the hill in Braj? We're going to come to that. You want to answer the question? You had something else? He was in a different mood. Okay. We're going to answer this question. It's going to take us a half an hour or so to answer this question. Second question, which Srila Bhaktisiddhanta brought up, which I hadn't even considered before. The first question I asked 30 years ago, but the second question I hadn't thought of before. Why did Madhavendra Puri walk on Govardhan Hill? And here in our nifty little new magazine, we have a photograph on page 118. This picture right here on the right side, this is a picture of the original Gopal Mandir that was made by Madhavendra Puri. So either he had a group of helicopters that were doing construction work, or he was definitely walking on Govardhan Hill. So why did he walk on the hill but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't? Another question. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati made his bhajan kuti here on top of the hill, and he put deities of Vinod Madhav lower than his bhajan kuti. And he put deities of Gorgadadhar lower than his bhajan kuti. And he put deities on top of the hill, on his order, of Vyasadeva and Madhvacharya in his bhajan kuti. This is a very confusing thing, isn't it? A lot of questions. It's a very deep subject. And why is it that he named the deities here Vinod Madhav and not Radha Vinod Madhav? I mean, isn't Radharani pretty important? Why is it that Radharani's not mentioned in the name of these deities? In fact, I remember one time doing kirtan here years ago, Hare Krishna, and I was singing Jai Radha Vinod Madhav. I thought this was the name of the deities. And one of the brahmacharis here at the Gaudiya Mutt came and said, no, Vinod Madhav, not Radha Vinod Madhav. I said, okay. I thought these guys are being fanatics. And later I found there's an interesting reason. So first of all, why Madhav? Well, because his family deities, the deities of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, which are still today in Kendarpur, in the village of Choti Mangalpur, are Radha Madhav, the family deities of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who were given to his ancestors by Lord Nityananda. And those deities were rediscovered about 25 years or so ago by Fakir Mohan Prabhu, who passed away last year. And now they've been going every year to Vrindavan on our temple, Krishna Balaram Mandir, on the altar of Radhasham Sundar. So this is one reason why he named them Radha Madhav, or Vinod Madhav. And Gorgadadhar, why Gorgadadhar? Why not Gornitai? Well, this is the place of Gadadhar Pandit, Tota Gopinath. All that makes sense. But what about these other things? So this place, this area, is known as Gora Batsahi. It means the neighborhood where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu walked. And according to Vrindavan Das Thakur, Ajapiha Chaitanya e Shabalila Kori Jakone Jahari Kori Drishti Adhikari, he's still walking there today. In fact, I think very likely he was walking with all of us on our parikrama, but maybe we're not so fortunate that we could see him. This area is known as Gorbat Sahi because here every day Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are walking to this area to go to the ocean to take bath. And then after taking bath, Mahaprabhu would walk to the Jagannath Mandir for darshan. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was staying here at Chatak Parvat, he advised the devotees, a bit of good advice. He said, go to the beach at 3 in the morning, early in the morning, and chant your japa. And if you're fortunate, you may see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates. We heard a story once from the Chaitanya Mutt, where Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's samadhi is in Mayapur, that one night, about 1 or 2 in the morning, some of the Mutt residents suddenly heard some loud shouting noises. And they woke up and they came out and they found, to their amazement, that their Guru Maharaj had become a madman. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, see them now, do you see them there? And the devotees were all looking and nobody saw anything. They say one devotee, I don't recall his name, by the mercy of his Guru Maharaj, he saw. And what was it that he saw? The Panchatattva doing kirtan and dancing together. So adya piha chaitanya eshabalila kori jakone jahari kori drishti adhikari. If someone's drishti adhikari, who's a very fortunate person, he may see these pastimes are going on even today. So one such morning when Mahaprabhu went to the ocean, he finished taking his bath, he was walking back toward the temple. Ramai was with him, and Shankaranya Subhadamadra Goswami, Gadadhar Pandit, many of the devotees were with him. And suddenly something happened to Mahaprabhu. And he just broke away from the group and started running like a madman. And as he was running, he was reciting a famous verse, which we put up. I think we had 8 different commentaries translated in this verse, this magazine. Some of you may know this famous verse, you can recite with me. Hantaya madhura bala hari dasa varyo yad rama krishna charanas parasa pramoda manam tanoti sahago gana yusta yuryat paniyasuya vasa kandara kanda mulai. So we're going to ask Makaravinda Prabhu to explain what is the meaning of this verse, general meaning.
General meaning,
who spoke it? And
his gopis are saying that how fortunate is Govardhan Hill that it is, he is raising all the cowherd boys and raising by providing the grass and antayam adra abla haridas varyu, and he is considered the best of the servant haridas varyu yad ram krishna charanas, because it is getting purified by the lotus feet of Ram and Krishna charanas parsa pramoda manam tanoti, and he is providing the grass to the cows and the calves. Manam tanoti sa gugunayo sevar pani yasu yavasa kandara kanda. And in there are different caves where the Krishna and his all the friends perform different pastimes. So he's serving the Lord Krishna by different ways. So that's why it's considered the best of the servant.
I always found this verse very interesting. I'm going to just give you a little tease. I'm not going to answer this very far out question. But how is it, did you ever wonder, that in the Bhagavatam, Giriraj is presented as Krishna. Krishna says, I'm non-different from Govardhan Hill. And all the Brijbasis, they had that understanding, right? Because Krishna said it. All the Brijbasis except for the gopis. Why did the gopis see Giriraj as a devotee? I'm not going to answer that. You have to think about it. So sometimes we should just put questions in the ether and you can think something about it. You'll find some answers indirectly in this magazine. So Mahaprabhu went running, chanting this verse, when he saw this hill, the sand dune. And he fell unconscious on top of the hill. And Govinda, his servant, came there and began fanning him. All the devotees went running after him. There's one devotee named Bhagavan Acharya, Jagadamprabhu's friend, who was going a little slow. But he has a devotee friend named Bhagavan Acharya Das, who was going a little slow because he was lame. He couldn't walk very well. And so the devotees, they began fanning Mahaprabhu's body. They began sprinkling water on him. And they began doing kirtan. All of them gathered around his body and started chanting, Hari, Hari, Hari! Hari, Hari, Hari! Hari, Hari, Hari! Hari, Hari, Hari! And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained external consciousness. And he was confused. And he looked around and he said, what did you do? Where did you bring me? He said, I was at Govardhan Hill. Now this is an interesting point in and of itself. Maybe we might try to address this later on, perhaps in the Gambira. It's a related subject there. Someone once asked us a question. We were having a reading every night in our ashram, Antilila. Chaitanya Charitamrita, how is it that the kirtan of Srup Damodar Goswami and Roy Ramananda is causing discomfort and unhappiness to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? There's something wrong with their kirtan? Don't think like that. It has a very, very deep purport to it. Mm-hmm. So, but it's a very big question. How is it that Mahaprabhu is unhappy? So, one thing at a time. Mahaprabhu told them, I was there, I was at Govardhan. I was searching for Krishna. Krishna was herding the cows. And he said an interesting thing then. He said, I saw Krishna and Radharani enter into a cave. Who's saying this? That personality who's Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya, who's a combined form of Radha and Krishna. He said, I saw Radha and Krishna enter into a cave. And then he said, then some of the gopis, they came and they said, hey, who are you? Come here. Pick some flowers and help us make garlands. And he said, I was helping the gopis. This is a very interesting and a very, very deep subject. First of all, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Bhakta Rup. He's a devotee. He's come in the mood of a devotee. Ultimately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. And there's a technical term. He's Priti Vishroy. Means he's a supreme object of love. He's God. Right? That's his job. That's his business, being God. Srimati Radharani and the devotees, they're Priti Ashroy. They're the abode of love. Just as you can't have a conversation with darkness, with the night, and say, hey, you know what the sunshine is like? The darkness can't understand the nature of sunshine. Ice can't understand the nature of fire. Vice versa. They're opposites. So how can Krishna understand the mood of a devotee? So to do that, he had to come as a devotee. And I like to say, we'll give the example, that Krishna, when he came as a devotee, he's like a 16-year-old gurukuli that you gave him the key to Govinda's restaurant and told him, you can have anything you want. Very good day, right? So Krishna was like that. Something, now I get to have whatever I wanted. I can relish the mood of so many devotees. And sometimes he was in the mood of Dhruva Maharaj. Sometimes in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. Sometimes in the mood of Lord Shiva. Sometimes in the mood of Balaram. Sometimes in the mood of Rukmini. Sometimes in the mood of Satyabhama. Sometimes in the mood of Lakshmi Devi, the gopis. Sometimes in the mood of Radha. Sometimes in Srivasangam he was in the mood of Krishna for some hours. But in this pastime, here at Chatak Parvat, what is his mood? He's not in the mood of Radha. He's not in the mood of Krishna. He's not in the mood of the gopis. He's seeing Radha and Krishna in a cave, and the gopis are coming saying, hey, you, get to work. Come here. Pick some flowers. And they're engaging him. This is a very big thing. They have a saying here in Orissa, a very big subject, spoken from a very small mouth. But we should understand, we can put a name on it anyway. We call this Manjari Bhav. The servants of the gopis, this is what the activity that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relishing here at this place. It's a big subject, but we need to put a label on that and understand something about it so that we can continue further in our discussion. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relishing the mood of serving the gopis, which means that Manjari Bhav. So I'd like to read you some things from an article that we translated. This is from a magazine dated the 18th of April, 1936. An article that we looked at very carefully because in the Gaudiya magazine, they had a policy, like we also do in our magazine, we don't put the name of the author. Maybe sometimes the initials at the end, but generally it's the editor who does that, because otherwise it's weird. We're not trying to write things for ourselves. So from this article, it's clear that it was not written by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, but it's also very clear that it was written under his guidance. First of all, he was the editor, because he left this world in December of 1936, This was published in April of 1936. And it's also clear from the article that he's quoted quite often. Before I go to that, I'm going to back up a little bit. We wrote another article called Gobardhan Hill in the Last Days of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada. And this article discusses how this place, Chatak Parvat, and how Gobardhan Hill were very prominent in the last days of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Listen carefully. In August of 1936, now we're talking August, he left in December. In August of 1936, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta went to Gobardhan to inaugurate a place of worship there at Gobardhan Hill. We found this mentioned in two different Bengali magazines, and I have no idea where that property is. It seems that maybe it got lost in some court thing or something. No one seems to know about it today. I don't think there was anything built there. But he went there to inaugurate that. He was meditating on Govardhan Hill. We're going to have a place of worship at Govardhan Hill in August. Then, on the 24th of October, he sent his disciple, Bhakti Saranga Prabhu, to preach in England. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wanted to give him a very special benediction before he left. So he gave him three rocks. One is known as a Gomati Shila. We sometimes call it a Dwarka Shila. Sometimes devotees ask, is a Dwarka Shila bona fide? Well, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta apparently felt so. And he gave this Gomati Shila to someone. And second, he gave a Shalagram Shila. And third, he gave them a Govardhan Shila. Mm-hmm. On the next day, he left Kolkata and he came here to Jagannath Puri. And he stayed here at this Purushottam Mutt in Chatak Parvat. He spent 40 days here before he left this world. And during those days, he manifested some pastime of being sick. And while he was here, he was having the devotees recite to him every day 10 prayers written by Raghunath Das Goswami called the Govardhan Basa Prarthana Dasakam, the last of which describes Nirupadi Karunena Sri Satchinandanena Twahi Kapati Satopi Twat Priyanharpitosmi Iti Kalu Mama Yogya Yogya Tamam Agrinan Nija Nikata Nibasam Dehi Govardhanatvam Nija Nikata Nibasam Dehi Govardhanatvam Bolo Nija Nikata Nibasam Dehi Govardhanatvam. He's praying that, my dear Giriraj, please grant me residence near you, that Nirupadi Karunena Sri Satchinandanena, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's the best of all the Sankirtan devotees. Why? Because his karuna, his mercy, is characterized as Nirupadika Karuna. It has no designation. He doesn't think, wow, that guy looks really sweet. He's going to take a book. I may go get to him. And this other person looks suit and tie, businessman. I don't want to talk with them. He didn't care. No upadis, no designations. Freely giving mercy to everyone. And that's significant because how can I get mercy otherwise? Unless he's very merciful. Nirupadi karunena sri satchinandanena. He says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave me to you. Not that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave me a Govardhan Shila. But really what happened is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave me, Raghunath Das Goswami, to Govardhan Hill. He gifted me. Even though Twai Kapati Satopi, even though I'm a Satta, I'm a criminal and I'm a Kapati, I'm a duplicitous person. Iti Kalu Mama Yogya, Yogyatam Mama Agrinan. Don't consider my Yogyata in Hindi, where Yogyata is there, I think, means qualification. My Yogyata, my Ayogyata, my qualification, my disqualification, just Nija Nikata Nibasam Dehi Govardhanatvam. Let me stay near you. This was a meditation of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in his last days. This was a meditation of our Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In his last days, he also, one of his last requests, he asked the devotees, take me on Govardhan Parikrama. And the devotees were crying, Prabhupada, if we do, you'll leave your body. But that was Prabhupada's desire. Then during the month of Kartik, on the Govardhan Puja day, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta here at this place told the devotees, I want to have a big festival for Govardhan Puja. They cooked so many items from the front road out here all the way to the top of the hill. The whole area was full of items. It must have been thousands of preparations that they cooked that year. And that was the last Govardhan Puja festival observed by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So also during his last visit to Chatak Parvat, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was staying here on top of this hill. We're going to go there. I wanted to give you something to meditate on before we went there. He was staying there on top of the hill. And he's the Acharya of the Gaudiya Mutt, the Gaudiya Mission. He was getting letters from many devotees. One Grihastha devotee who was living in Bombay at the time wrote him a letter. And that devotee, he said, Guru Maharaj, what can I do? How can I serve you? He said, this Grihastha said, you have so many brahmachari and sannyasi servants, but I'm a Grihastha. Here in Orissa, there's a phrase, pocha grihasta, means rotten grihasta, the bad smell. Grihastas are not good. We like brahmacharis, right? Then I'm just a grihasta. What can I do for you? And so that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta got that letter here on top of the hill. He opened the envelope and read that. And he wrote a reply a few days later. And this was described by R. Srila Prabhupada in 1968 in Los Angeles. And he said, today is the 9th of December 1968. That means 32 years ago. In Bombay, I was then doing some business. All of a sudden, between the 9th and 10th of December, Guru Maharaj was a little indisposed. He was staying at Jagannath Puri on the seashore. So I wrote him a letter. My dear Master, your brahmachari and sannyasi disciples are rendering you direct service. I am a householder. I can't live with you. I can't serve you nicely. How can I serve you? Prabhupada said, his reply was dated 13 December 1936. This was the last letter R. Srila Prabhupada got from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and it was written here on top of this hill. This exchange happened at this time in the final days of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta when he was absorbed in Giriraj Govardhan. And in that letter, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta wrote to R. Srila Prabhupada, I think you should try to push our movement in English. It was a very important instruction. And then he said something which I've mentioned every time we come because I find it very, very prophetic. Prabhuji, were you born before 1936? No? Anybody here was born before 1936? I don't think so. Okay? This Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati predicted all of you. All of us. He wrote this letter to Srila Prabhupada, I think you should try to push our movement in English. That will do good to you and to the people who will help you. How did he know Srila Prabhupada was going to have people who would help him? How did he know it would be so good for them? He predicted, in effect, in this last letter here at Chatuk Parvak, he predicted our movement. And so we like to often say this is the beginning of our movement. And it's also the end because this is the last days of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And Prabhupada finished his lecture, he was saying, and then in 1936, on the 31st of December, that means just a fortnight after writing this letter, he passed away. So now I'd like to read you a little something about this place. Fasten your safety belts, okay? You'll survive. This is a little philosophical. All right, just try to concentrate and hear nicely. So he says that the worship of Sri Krishna by Srimati Radharani is a real anukulyena, anukul Krishna anusilana. We have this verse, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anabritam anukulyena Krishna anusilanam bhaktir uttama. That this anukulyena Krishna anusilana means Radharani. This verse means that we should anyabhilashita shunyam, your bhakti should be free from other material desires, jnana karmadi anabritam, it shouldn't be covered. That's a long discussion why he says not covered instead of devoid of, because some jnana and some karma can be good for bhakti, but it shouldn't cover it. And you shouldn't think that, and Jiva Goswami says adi means etc., and it means vanashram dharma and other things. You shouldn't think that the goal, it can cover bhakti in one of two ways. One is that you think the goal is vanashram, or the goal is jnana or karma. Well, the goal is not jnana or karma or vanashram, the goal is bhakti. But we may take advantage of vanashram, we may take advantage of jnana or karma to get bhakti. Second way it may cover bhakti is that you may think that, oh, unless I do this, unless I read Manu Sanghita every day, and follow all the rules and regulations of that, I can't get bhakti. But bhakti is swarat. Bhakti is independent. It doesn't depend on vanashram. It doesn't depend on jnana or karma. Anukulyena Krishnanu. Bhakti means for the pleasure of Krishna. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta here says that anukulyena Krishnanu phrase refers to Srimati Radharani. She's the embodiment of thinking of Krishna's pleasure. She's the embodiment of understanding the third ball. And he says, for some devotees, kamala nayana, lotus side Lord Jagannath is residing at the seashore. Right? Jagannath is here. There, to the Gaudiya devotees, Jagannath is a deity of Sambandha. Transcendental relationship. Sri Shamsundar Madan Mohan. Because the Vijay Vigraha, the festival deity of Jagannath in the Jagannath Mandir, is Madan Mohan. Madan Mohan is the deity of Sambandha. Okay? It's getting a little more complicated. Hang in there. We're going to get through this. All right? So Jagannath is a deity of our connection. Sambandha means, what is my connection, my relationship with the Lord? That's Jagannath. Then he says, on the other side of Chatak Parvat here in Puri is Gopinath. And Gopinath is a deity of Prayojan. He's the ultimate goal. Okay? He said then, now it's getting a little deeper here. In the temple of Srimati Radharani at Chatak Parvat, he will appear as a deity of Abhideya, Lord Govinda, the beloved of Rupa Goswami. He says, at the bank of Radha Kund, there are various kunjas, groves of the Sakis, and similarly those same gopis, they have their kunjas here at Chatak Parvat as well. It's a little bit to digest so far, isn't it? It's a very, very deep thing. Okay? So try to understand. Here in Puri, he's saying we have the deity of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan. We have the deity of Sambandha, that's Madan Mohan Jagannath. He connects everybody. He's the connection. We have the Prayojan deity, the ultimate deity of Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, Gopinath. And here at Chatak Parvat, in the temple of Radharani, but wait a minute, Radharani's not mentioned, right? Vinod Madhav, not Radha Vinod Madhav, right? Radharani's not even mentioned. But he's saying here, in the temple of Radharani at Chatak Parvat, we'll have Govinda. And how the gopis, they have their kunjas, their places around Radha Kund, and they also have their places here at Chatak Parvat. Okay? Everybody's digested that more or less? Okay, let's go on. Now it becomes, we're shifting gears, it's going to get a little more technical. Okay? There are different moods amongst the followers of the Lord. There are those who think of themselves as devotees, and he calls it Bhakt Abhiman. I have the Abhiman of being a Bhakta. And he says they're Bhajan Kori, they're doing Bhajan. And then there's another category of devotee. Okay, first category is called what? Bhakt Abhiman. And what is their mood? Bhajan Kori, I'm doing Bhajan. Okay, that's the first category of devotees. Second category is called, it's a little longer phrase, Acharya Das Abhiman. Means I'm a servant of the Acharyas. The consideration of the Bhajan Kori devotee, the Bhakta Abhiman devotee, okay, this is their attitude. Their consideration is Ami Jibi Doya Koriya Bhagavanera Prithividan Koriba. I'll please the Lord. Excuse me. The Bhajan Kori devotee's mood is Ami Doyara Prarti. I'm a candidate for mercy. I want mercy. That's the devotees who have the Bhakta Abhiman. I want mercy. I need mercy. I'm thinking about my mercy. That's why I'm coming to Jagannath Puri, because I need mercy, right? But there's another category of devotees who have the attitude of Acharya Das Abhiman. And their mood, I read it wrong, is Ami Jivi Doya Koriya Bhagavanera Prithividan Koriba. I'll please the Lord by being compassionate to other living entities. Okay, understand the two differences? The Bhakta Abhiman, they're thinking about their own mercy. And the second category of devotees, Acharya Das Abhiman, they have the attitude, I'm going to please the Lord by showing compassion on the living entities. Okay? So he says, although both of these considerations are to please the senses of Krishna, one is predominated with Madhurja Bhav, a mood of sweetness, while the other is imbued with Odarja Bhav, a mood of kindness and mercy. Although, and then he said something which took me a little while to get my head around. Okay? We're going now a little faster, a little more philosophical. Although they are Vishaya Vigraha, the objects of love, still Lord Chaitanya, Srila Rupa, and Sanatan Goswamis. Now, and wait a minute. Vishaya Vigraha means Krishna, means Bhagavan. Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis are devotees. They're in the mood of Ashraya, not in the mood of Vishaya. But here, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa and Sanatan, although they are Vishaya Vigraha, the objects of love, and contemplating this article, it becomes clear, they're the objects of worship and love for us. There are worshipable deities. We don't know about Radha and Krishna and all that. We know about Rupa Goswami. We know about Srila Prabhupada. We know about the devotees. There are worshipable deities. Okay? Although they are Vishaya Vigraha, the objects of love, still Lord Chaitanya, Srila Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, in the mood of Ashraya Vigrahas, abodes of love, didn't climb on Govardhan Hill. Okay? In the mood of devotees, they wouldn't climb on Govardhan Hill. Srila Madhavendra Puri, however, in the mood of a Acharya Das Abhiman, in the mood of a servant of the Acharyas, Madhavendra Puri walked on Govardhan Hill. And in order to follow Gopal's order, and he said, Anchatak Parvat, temples have been established for the previous Acharyas. And the current Acharyas and their assistants climb on it with the mood of being servants of the predecessor Acharyas. Has everybody digested that? Yeah? Okay? It's a lot to digest, I know. Okay? So then he says, is it okay, is it alright to build a temple on Chatak Parvat, the place that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered to be Govardhan? So then he goes on to explain that. And he says that Radhakund is very close to Govardhan. So we come here to get remembrance of Radhakund. And then he went on to explain further that Krishna says that worshipping the devotee is better than worship of me. Krishna becomes more pleased when he sees the devotees being worshipped than himself being worshipped. And then he says, okay, here we go. The temple of Srimati Radharani, who is the topmost form of Ashraya Vigraha, will be built on the highest platform of that Chatak Parvat area. Okay, we'll go back to that. We'll just mark it. Sri Varshabhanavi will reside there along with her dear associates. The temples of the personalities of Ashraya Vigraha, the abode of love, Radharani's place, should be bigger and more beautiful than for the personalities of Vishaya Vigraha. For this reason, the Gorgadadhar temple and Vinod Madhav are lower down. And on top of the hill is the temple of Srimati Radharani. And he says, we've kept a place for Vyasadeva and Madhvacharya in the upper position from the main temple. He says, Chatak Hill is a place of Srimati Radhika and her Sakhi Manjaris. We came here to get inspired by the place of noon time pastimes. This place is a great mystery. It's an amazing thing. So he named these deities Vinod Madhav, and he addressed them as Govinda, the deity of Abhideya. And he put Radharani there because how can you put Krishna without Radha? But he considered that Radharani's place, her real temple, is on top of the hill. Because this is the place of service. And Radharani is the abode of service. And our mood is Acharya Das Abhiman. We want to render service to please Krishna. We please Krishna by showing kindness on other living entities. This was the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur here at this place. Such a deep thing. This is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wouldn't walk on Govardhan in Braj. Because there he's in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But here he comes and he's in the mood of a Sakhi Manjari. And he walks on the hill. This is why Madhavendra Puri walked on Govardhan Hill. Because he was in the mood. Acharya Das Abhiman. Let me serve the Acharyas. This is why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta built his Bhajan Kutir on top of the hill, this place where he wrote this last instruction to our Srila Prabhupada, and why he established Madhvacharya and Vyasadeva there, and why he put the deities of Vinod Madhav lower and the deities of Gorgadadhar lower. This is a mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. And this is the valuable, valuable, valuable item, that wonderful gem that we want to try to collect in this place. Otherwise, what is this place? It is some Gaudiya Math devotees, some brahmacharis. It's a new temple they're building. And what is it to me? But here in this place were some very, very deep emotions, some very, very deep feelings. And we want to collect those feelings and put them in our bag and take them back with us. And we want to use that to become empowered, as Vaisheshikabhu was saying. Coming here so we can become empowered to please Srila Prabhupada and please Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. I'd like to finish with one last little comment we often mention while we're here. This place, therefore, is our beginning. It's the Alpha. Alpha and the Omega, right? It's our beginning because we were all predicted here. But it's also the Omega, or the end, because in 1977, Srila Prabhupada came here to Puri. He came to Bhubaneswar in January and February. On Nityananda Trayodasi, he established the cornerstone of the Krishna Balaram Temple in Bhubaneswar. It was Prabhupada's last founded project. And then he came here to Puri with Satsarup Maharaj and Harisari Prabhu and Guru Kripa Prabhu and Gorgavinda Maharaj and a whole group of devotees. Rameshwar Prabhu was there for some of it and a number of devotees. And they took bath in the ocean. They had darshan at Tota Gopinath. And they came here. And they did kirtan here. And later, we know Srila Prabhupada traveled. He went to Vrindavan, then finally went to England. He came back to Vrindavan. And he said, now I'm going to prepare to leave this world. And so word went all over the world that Srila Prabhupada was going to depart. And I'm told that Prabhupada gave an instruction, I want all of my disciples to come to see me. So Prabhupada's disciples who were staying here in Orissa, in Bhubaneswar, Bhagavat Prabhu, is now Bhagavat Maharaj, was the temple president, and the co-president was Gorgavinda Maharaj, my revered spiritual master. So they got this news, and immediately Gorgavinda Maharaj took some water from Shankarvapi, one sacred well which is supposed to be good for health in Bhubaneswar, and he took some Jagannath Mahaprasad, and he went to Vrindavan to see Srila Prabhupada. There's a few conversations they had. And he stayed there for a week or so, then he came back to Bhubaneswar so that Bhagavat could go to Vrindavan to see Srila Prabhupada. And when Bhagavat went there, he was there for a few days, and then Srila Prabhupada left. And he phoned Bhubaneswar to tell the devotees the most terrible news in the universe. I still can't get my head around, I can't understand what it must have been like for all the Prabhupada disciples when Prabhupada left. I mean, it's one thing to lose your guru, but then there's a whole bunch of other exalted Vaishnavas in the world. But Prabhupada was everything. He was the only person that all the devotees knew. He was the movement. And so the devotees were just devastated. So Bhagavat came back to Bhubaneswar, and then he and Gorgavinda Maharaj and the devotees who were here decided that they would have a disappearance festival for Srila Prabhupada to honor him. And where did they do that? They came here, to this place. And they invited all the different Gaudiya Math devotees and to come, and they spoke about the glories of Srila Prabhupada. And they did kirtan, and they distributed prasadam. They gave big donations, I think it was 10 rupees to each Gaudiya Math devotee, along with the gumsha. 10 rupees was a lot in those days. And the festival took place here. So this is a very close place to our heart. This place has some relevance for us. It's the beginning and the end. It's a place we can meditate on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's mood, the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the mood of Gadadhar Pandit. We can meditate something on the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and our Srila Prabhupada. So thank you very much. What's the time now? Okay. Do we have... It would be nice to have a little discussion, I think. Is that possible? Can we have a little discussion, something? Okay, just to help everybody digest, because if we throw all these things out, there's Acharya Das Abhiman, Bhakta Abhiman, and this thing, I see devotees that we don't want anybody to die due to lack of digestion. So Malati, do you have some comment or question? Okay.
Well, I just have a question, because when you begin this part of the discourse, you gave a quote from Srila Prabhupada about holy places being guided by the proper men who knew the science, but you gave a quote from Second Canto.
Yeah.
Remember? Yeah, can you give me that verse?
Yeah, that's chapter 2. Canto 2, chapter 3, I think it's text 11. Let me just check here. It's 2322, I'm sorry. 2322. Very nice prayer point.
Yeah. I was trying to remember this before I came here.
Oh. And there's beautiful songs by Narottam Das Thakur and Bhaktivinoda, many things said about this topic. Once, I'll just tell you a little story. One devotee, he asked me a question. He said, Madhavananda, the Maha Kumbh Mela is coming up. Are you going there? And I said, no. He said, you're not going to the Maha Kumbh Mela. My God, this is the only time, in 11 years or something, and you go there. And I said, look, I don't mind me. Please don't be offended, but what am I going to get if I go there? He said, wow, the Amrit is coming from the heaven, you know, and you take bath at that time, and you get... I said, look, let's cut it to the short. I'll get some great Sukriti, right? Yeah. What is the greatest Sukriti that I can get? Sadhu Sangha. What is the greatest fruit of Sadhu Sangha that I can get? Guru, having Guru. Okay, so I've had Sadhu Sangha, I have Guru. What is the greatest fruit of your relationship with your Guru? To have service. And I also have service for my Guru Maharaj. Now if I neglect the service of my Guru Maharaj to go to your Maha Kumbh Mela, it's a fall down. And I'm not going to get any benefit, I'm just going to do some aparad. We should focus on our service and understand the difference between Smarta Vichar and Goswami Vichar. These two things, okay? Any other comments, Prabhuji?
Whenever we're in Mayapur and we go to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, Vrijendra Nandana Prabhu always makes this really profound point that always touches my heart. And he says that you'll know that you have, in regards to this Acharya Das Abhiman, he says, you know that you've received the mercy of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur if you want to go back and give this to others, and go back and preach. He says that that's when you know that you've received the mercy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur.
Chai. Hey, Mukherjee, it's your magazine. Anybody else? Anything, Prabhuji? Vasudev?
It's a little hard to understand for me, the Acharya Das Abhiman and the connection to Radharani being on top of the hill.
Okay, good.
So you defined as the Acharya Das Abhiman as having the primary concern is the giving of compassion, audarya. So what is then the connection between Radharani reciting, because you would also see them as Vishaya, but the objects, and therefore as an object of reverence. So, but...
It's a little confusing the way we put it. Maybe a simpler way would to take Radharani out of the quotient and speak about the servants of Srimati Radharani. And this is the mood of this place. The mood of Radharani's servants. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, here at this place, adopted the mood of Radharani's servants. And they're thinking primarily Srimati Radharani, and Radharani's orchestrating things for the pleasure of Krishna, for Govinda. This is Abhideya, our activities. So this is what he saw in this pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu seeing Chatak Parvak like Govardhan, and Mahaprabhu wanting to serve the gopis by picking flowers and helping them make garlands. That this is a place of that kind of service, that kind of service, or service in general, to our acharyas. Our acharyas are like Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. They're Rupa Manjari, they're Rati Manjari, they're Labhanga Manjari, they're Manjaris. And they're serving Srimati Radharani. Therefore, that's the temple of Srimati Radharani. Okay? Gita Nagari Prabhu?
Does that mean that no temple up there right now, Srimati Radharani.
Yeah,
so
yeah, come
just,
on.
I'm just wondering, is the temple to be built in the future?
I know, this is the same question I had too.
Are we going to have, you know, the Radha Krishna, the Asasakis?
Here's my humble conclusion about this. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta didn't, he said we have, like in present tense, the temple's there. So my take on this is that it means his bhajan kutir. That bhajan kutir. And the bhajan, our bhajan, indirectly that means, our bhajan means serving the Sakhi Manjaris who are serving Srimati Radharani. And that's our temple of worship.
Okay, well, one more question I'm a little confused about then. If that is the, if that bhajan kutir is the temple of Srimati Radharani, why Vyasadeva and Madhvacharya are up there? That's okay. What I didn't understand.
All right. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's vision was very broad. Just like Srila Prabhupada established the deities in Delhi of Radha Partha Sarati. And some devotees have had a hard time getting their head around that. And there's one prominent Gaudiya Madhvacharya who complained to Gopal Krishna Maharaj. I heard this story some years ago. And he said, how is it Partha Sarati? Partha Sarati is the speaker of Bhagavad Gita. And you got Radharani with Partha Sarati? And Gopal Krishna Maharaj gave such a good answer. He said, when we spoke, we asked this question to our Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's response was, is there ever a place where Srimati Radharani is not present? And when this Gaudiya Madhvacharya heard that, he became quiet. He said, oh, my pranams to your Swami Maharaj. He was very impressed with Srila Prabhupada. So apparently Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he's seeing it in a broader way, like Radha Partha Sarati, like Srila Prabhupada's vision. He's seeing the mood of Srimati Radharani, not just Radharani and Braj, because there's Madhva and Vyasadeva, that's a little far out. But he's seeing this principle of service. That's my take on it, how I've digested it. Anything else from anybody? Prabhuji?
You were mentioning earlier that it's not really ideal to go to the Holy Dham for purpose of purification or pretty much anything besides to try to capture the mood of the acharyas who've been there. And to me that sounds like bhakti, right? And I'm just trying to understand how it seems like one has to go through purification or in order to uncover the bhakti in the heart. So I was under the impression in the past that endeavoring for purification was actually an honorable thing to do because that in turn will purify one to when one experiences bhakti. Or so how does one, you know, I don't know, this is kind of a, like you said, everything you're saying is super deep, so it's kind of hard to even ask a question about it. But it just seems like basically, unless...
Is it wrong to want to be purified? Is that a question?
More or less. But okay. I'm actually more trying to understand how can you approach the goal of bhakti, having bhakti already, if that's required, if having bhakti already is required to approach the goal of attaining bhakti, how is that possible?
Okay. The Bhagavatam 11th canto says, bhakti sanjayate bhakti. That bhakti comes from bhakti. Life comes from life. Bhakti comes from navavidhi bhakti. But not just from navavidhi bhakti, but bhakti stu bhagavad bhakta sangaini prajayate, the Brihanardiya Purana, as quoted many places by our Goswamis and Bhaktivinoda, bhakti comes from a devotee. So when we engage in navavidhi bhakti, as vaidhi bhakti, under the guidance of a devotee who has bhakti, bhakti gives bhakti. We get bhakti in that way. And as to the question, is it okay to desire to become purified, like everything in our philosophy, it's tricky. We can look at it in different ways. We can say, just as we've been doing, that ultimately Anukulyena Krishnanu. We should want to know what is Krishna's pleasure. And whether I'm purified or not purified, whether I go to hell, whether whatever, I just want to please you. That's the topmost thing. But at the same time, how can I please Gurudev if I'm a rotten, filthy, dirty creature? So we also pray, Gurudev, O Krishna, please purify my heart so that I can serve you. It's the same prayer, but the motivation is different. And this is, bhakti is a very subtle thing. It's all about our motivation. The same activity, same desire. I want to be purified, but one is selfish. I want to be purified for myself because I'm suffering. I have all these material desires, and because I have all these material desires, I don't get no respect in ISKCON. Nobody appreciates me. So please purify me so that I can become a big, famous devotee. That's all about me. But the other desire, please purify my heart so that I can be a good servant. That's a completely different motivation. It's a subtle point.
I was just remembering how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his songs, he prays that, please purify me of the six faults, right? Please purify me of the six faults. Gurudev, right? Isn't that the song?
Well, yeah.
Ahoy Vaishnav Thakur, yeah.
There was something else. Jagadatmaprabhu. For those of you who don't know, Jagadatmaprabhu is also Prabhupada's disciple from Australia. He's lived in Bhubaneswar for a long time. He lives in our ashram with us here in Puri. He's a very old dear friend. And very good friend of my Guru Maharaj. My Guru Jana, but my Guru Maharaj's friend.
Hare Krishna. So, I was thinking it's very difficult to understand. And so I meditated on this thing also, this place on Govardhan Hill. How is Govardhan Hill and how Radhakund is here on the top of this hill. And all the kunjas of Radha and her sakis, they're all right on the top of this hill. And how is it so? So I thought about it for a long time. And while reading and discussing with other devotees, I got some understanding that if you want to see the forests of Vrindavan, they're seen at the Gundicha. You have to go to Gundicha and you'll get spurti. The pure devotees will get spurti, and they did get spurti. Many devotees got the vision of Krishna with the gopis in the forest of Vrindavan there. It's at Gundicha. And here, you'll get the spurti of Radhakund here. And all the Gopi Manjari's places, they're here. But you get spurti of these places. It's another of my godbrothers, he said that this is like a portal. From here, you can be transported to those places very easily. You'll go to those places from this place. That was his understanding. So even though you may be looking for externally, well, where's Radhakund? Like in Vrindavan, or where is this temple? This temple is here. It's here. But you're not going to see it with your material vision. It can only be seen by the pure devotees through spurti. And that's where they saw it. They saw it here.
It's Hridaya Mandire.
Yeah.
It's a temple in my heart.
And you will go there from here. From this place. Very easily you'll go there.
Thank you, Prabhu. Anything else from anybody? Do you want to say anything? Yeah, I'm a little... Okay, so maybe we should just stop. Okay, so we'll just stop. If anybody else has any comments or questions, you can come to me. Thank you all very much. I'm sorry, this is a very long, drawn-out discussion. Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada ki, Sri Chatak Parvat ki, Sri Sri Gaur Gadadhar ju ki, Sri Sri Vinod Madhav ju ki, Sri Sri Radha Lalita Tota Gopinath ju ki, Gopremanande, Pancha Kalpadarubhish cha, Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva cha, Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha.
Natari Armarman, 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 Natari Armarman.